Tonight we're going to do things a little bit differently, and all of our Bible Club's workers are here, and we've got a special awards night and things for them, but I thought what we would do is give you a word of exhortation, all of you who are working. So these kids, I think, are going to be okay. You don't have to, you know, kids, y'all be okay. I don't want you getting out of line. That way y'all can enjoy a little bit of exhortation from the Word of God that could hopefully be a blessing to you as much as you have been to these children and to us for the work that you're doing for these children. If you have a Bible tonight, turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 14. I'd like to give you something from the Word of God tonight to be a blessing to you. Some of you, I know that you're doing your work, didn't get to bring your Bibles, and that's okay. I'm going to read for you from the Scripture so you can pay attention tonight. Mark chapter 10, verse 14. What happens in verse 13 is they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. And the reason is, obviously, they didn't want ministering to these children to be a distraction to the important work that Jesus Christ was doing and healing everybody and preaching the kingdom of God and all that. That, you know, don't bother him with these children. That was the attitude. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, not just a little bit. And said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Let's go and have a word of prayer, and then I'd like to give you something from the Scripture tonight. Tony, pray for us, please. Amen.
The effort that they put into trying to just instill some of your word in the hearts of these children. We thank you for each one that's come here tonight. We do pray that you bless your word tonight. Be with all the prayer requests in advance, Lord God, as the Wednesday night service.
Amen.
About prayer meeting, and we do thank you for that. Continue, Lord, to help us through our day. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Children's ministries, I want you to know what I believe the Bible says, and certainly what I believe, children's ministries are vital to the ministry of a local church. You don't do a children's ministry because you have parents who are coming that have kids and you got to do something with the kids. You do the children's ministry because there's something very vital in it, and men and women who work with children are a blessing, not only to the Lord, but also to the local church. And not only that, but you're a blessing to these children. Now, some of them, they're very young, and you may think that they're not going to remember. But you know what? They do, because there are formative things that are done here in their lives. You know, sometimes I really believe this. I really believe that youth workers or Bible Club workers sometimes get the idea, perhaps, that they are just glorified babysitters. We have to do this because there are some parents that want to come to prayer meeting, and we don't want our kids in there disturbing what's going on, so we'll just entertain them over here. I know you know that your ministry is not like that at all, but sometimes it may seem that way to you. And I want you to understand something. That's not what children's ministries are in this church. Not at all. They're not in my heart that way. They're not in Tony's heart that way. And I know they're not in the heart of the parents that way. I want you to understand something tonight before you go on with your portion of the program. I want you to understand just how valuable you are to the work of the Lord and to the work of this church. Your work, as you can see from this verse that we just looked at, listen, your work with children is primary, not secondary. Your work with children is primary, not secondary. I don't do more important work in here than you do over there, because I'm ministering to adults and you're ministering to children. And sometimes people get the idea that there's sort of a hierarchy in ministry, and that what we do in here with the parents is more important than what you're doing over there with the children. I've heard some preachers remark when a grown man got saved, well, I'll tell you what, we had a man saved today. That's not like kids getting saved in a daily vacation Bible school. As if the soul of that man was more important than the soul of that child. And that's not really the case. And I don't know that any man that's ever made that comment would believe that the soul of a child is less important than the soul of a man. But they seem to put more emphasis on it because, what, it's harder to lead a man to Christ than it is a young person? or maybe their hearts are more tender. Listen, Jesus Christ straightened that out. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ said, I want you to understand something. These children are not bothering me. These children are not a distraction to my ministry. He was much displeased with those that were upset with those parents bringing those children. He said, this is what we're about. The kingdom of God is of these children. And then goes on to say, if you want to get saved, you're going to have to receive the kingdom just like these, like a little child would, by childlike faith. So I really like the fact that the Lord made it perfectly clear that what we do here and what you do there are of equal importance. This is not secondary work at all. The second thing to notice is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible tonight, that's fine. I'll read these for you. But if you do, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and notice this. Children, I appreciate y'all so much being well behaved. I know y'all have other things that you want to do, but I appreciate you allowing these folks to look at you and listen to something that will help them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, Paul says to the Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians 2, 7, we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Now, the thing to understand about children's ministry is that it is selfless, not selfish. In children's ministry, I think, is where we've probably seen the opportunity for people to try to build a ministry within a ministry. We've seen problems over the years. Sometimes you get workers in there and suddenly this is like their ministry and it runs separately apart from the whole church, which isn't the case at all. But you know why that brews up in the heart of some people? Because it becomes sort of like a selfish thing, sort of like this is my thing to do. I appreciate the fact that when you do your work, you're selfless in it, not selfish. This is not for your reward, it's for the sake of these children. You may be well rewarded for it. But Paul said, listen to what he said, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only. It's not just about the lesson or the program or the schedule for that day, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. There's something that happens in your relationship with these kids while you're ministered to them, and they become like your children. There is a love that develops. You know, when I was in Beeville, we had some people that were young, and now they're adults. And some of them are serving the Lord. And I remember what they were like. They were just like this group here tonight, just like you are. And now they're adults, and they have their own children. And to see them serving the Lord and to know that we invested, listen, not just what the lesson said, but our hearts into those children. There's a joy when you see them get older and they're serving the Lord. You go, you know what, boy, that was really worth doing. And so I encourage you to put your heart into it, because the Lord's heart is certainly in it. It's a selfless work. It's a primary work. And let me show you one other thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. There was another verse like this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'll read it for you. But 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, Paul said, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Children in this Bible club and children in our youth ministries like Sunday school, they're going to get saved. Some of these children here are saved now. Some of them are too young to be saved, but they're going to grow up and they're going to get saved. And what you're doing is helping parents train their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And it becomes, listen, a relationship that's not only primary and selfless, but it is, listen, fatherly, Paul said, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers, because I have begotten you through the gospel. Back there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he said, you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, listen, as a father doth his children. These are not your children, unless you're the parent of one of these children here, but I'm looking around here, and most of these are not yours, they're somebody else's. And yet you love them like a father would his own children. And when you do, it becomes fatherly, not scholarly. Again, it is about the gospel. It is about the Bible. It is about the lesson. But more so, it is about the person delivering that with the heart of one who's like a father. Now listen, if you teach them, what's the oldest that you teach here? Who's the oldest one here? Who's the oldest person here? Ricky, how old are you? 11. Did you hear that? 11. He'll be shaving. 11. He's 11 years old. May I tell you something? One of these days, we don't know the Lord's schedule, he's going to be a father. And it happens like that. When I went to the funeral Monday, Brother Dickman had passed away, and he has a namesake named Mac. There's a little boy named Mac Dickman. He was an infant when I went for Brother Dickman's funeral, and I said to somebody, where's Mac Dickman? I want to see him. I want to shake his hand. And they said, oh, right over there. And there was a little boy sitting on his father's lap. I said, oh, I see him, the little blonde-headed boy. I said, no, the one sitting next to him. You know, it's 9 years ago that Brother Dickman passed away. Mac Dickman is a 9-year-old kid. Next time I see him, he's going to have 3 kids. And being near retirement. I mean, it's just boom like that. But let me tell you something. These children are going to grow up and become adults who, Lord willing, if everything works well through the teen ministry and college and career ministry, will be right here, and they'll form their families here. And listen. You're not making an investment this year to get to May so you can take off for the summer. You are making, listen, a lifetime, long-term investment in the lives of these children. That's what you're doing. In Proverbs, here's what Solomon said. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers. If your relationship with these children is like a father, that's the way Paul's relationship was. Listen, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers. Do you know these children can grow up here and they don't have to pay for this building? God allowed you to put up a house that they can inherit. You and I will be in the dirt and we'll have a gravestone, and they, Lord willing, will be able to continue on with the work of God because you allowed them to inherit a house. And he says, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers. Listen, by the way, let's keep this pure and sanctified. This house, they can go anywhere to get into rock and roll and every other kind of current modern thing that's moving on. There are very few of these. You know, the Jews let it go and they went into idolatry because that's what everybody else was doing. Listen, Tony stays with you to stay faithful to the book. He gives you lessons that are true to the Word of God. You know why? So when they grow up, they can stay with what you got that got you where you are. Amen. Let's stay with that in the house. But then he said house and riches. In Proverbs 8:18, wisdom says, riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. We are and have joined that company of saints who God used to preserve the Word of God. And we're preserving it not in that we had to record it and publish it this way. We're preserving it in that we have not departed from the truth of what God said. One of the things, and there are many, that I love about Tony is that he recognized that in our Wednesday night meetings, we needed to do something to make sure this Bible got in their hearts so they would have durable riches as an inheritance from your work. That's what fathers do. They take a long-term view. Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaveth an inheritance, listen, to his children's children. You put good work into Ricky, and all these other kids that are here, when they grow up and have their children, if you've kept the house as an inheritance, he can raise his children here with the same kind, it's the same book, the words of God, they haven't changed, with the same thing that he got and get the same product that he is today, because you've left an inheritance to your children's children. You put something in them that they can live with along with their parents for the rest of their lives and their children's lives. As you've always heard, our youth ministries don't usurp the relationship of parents to their children at all, because that's the primary relationship. But when you treat the children the way parents treat the children, with the love of a father imparting yourself, recognizing how important this is to the Lord Jesus Christ, suddenly your work with them is the same as their parents' work with them, and that's when it leaves an inheritance to their children because of what you've done for them today. So as you give yourself to this most important ministry and to these most important souls, remember that you are investing in their future, listen, for generations to come. Jesus said what he said a couple thousand years ago, and nothing's changed today. Thank you, listen, thank you for your work with these souls that these parents love and these souls that God loves. We appreciate you very, very much. Father, thank you for the work of the workers and for the vision and understanding that you've given to Brother Tony and Shannon for the care that needs to be in these children. I ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, continue to bless their work. We ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.